The following is a Fourth Hand production.
It was impossibly large.
It definitely wasn't human.
I've been tracking Sasquatches for 25 years.
These animals, in fact, are real.
I've seen them. They're here.
I'm having a really difficult time finding an explanation for this.
There's something on the hill.
I do think there's a Squatch in these woods.
Sasquatch stories are found among the Pacific Northwest coastal Indian tribes. The legend existed before there was a single name for the creature. Similar accounts and legends of these beasts are found on every continent except Antarctica.
Individuals claiming to have seen Bigfoot describe it as a large, hairy, muscular, bipedal, ape-like creature roughly 6 to 9 feet tall. The enormous footprints for which the creature is named are claimed to be as large as 24 inches long and 8 inches wide.
So are the woods and mountains hiding the missing link, a giant ape-like creature that excels at hide-and-seek? Or are there just thousands of misidentifications and hoaxes year after year that keep the story alive? We strap on our hiking boots and set out to do some tree-knocking to get to the bottom of it next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that has not only seen Bigfoot, but ate it too. A lot of it. This is Hysteria 51.
Recently, an object was sighted.
It was big. Bigger than big.
Large. Astronomically big.
Big would be an understatement.
Very big.
Big.
Huge.
When it arrives, you'd better not be alone. It's Bigfoot from
Pizza Hut.
I got the physique for that, John.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we are your hosts, John Goforth, and next to me is Brent Hand. And Brent, this week we're hitting up a cryptid. Well, not just a cryptid, the cryptid.
Yeah, the big daddy. The grand
Bigfoot.
Daddy. Yeah.
Yes. We don't do a ton of these. Are you excited to get into some cryptozoology?
Absolutely. Even people who don't know much about the world of cryptids or the paranormal, us not being in that, you know, we're vastly superior in knowledge to, you know.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
People have no idea about any of that, have heard of Bigfoot. I mean, who doesn't love Harry and the Hendersons?
For ages, he has hidden in the forest, eluded hunters, baffled scientists, and remained a mystery until the Hendersons bumped into him.
What is it?
It's a major discovery. We have to take it home.
That was a great movie. I mean, well, at least 7-year-old John thought it was a great movie. I don't know that it holds up.
I watched it a couple years ago. It's
did it?
All right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's got John Lithgow. He's all right.
Speaking of holding up, John Lithgow's career, I mean, he was just in The Crown playing. What the hell is that?
Hey, guys. I'm ready to go.
Go? What are you talking about? We're in the middle of the show, guy.
Right. I heard you from my bot cave, said you were taking it on the road going to the zoo. I grabbed some nets, a couple cages, 3 cans of poison, a lead pipe, 4 rolls of duct tape, 3 bottles of bleach, some fishing wire, and plumber's putty. We're all set for the zoo.
Okay. First, we're not going to the zoo. I don't know where you got that. I mean, oh, wait. Cryptozoology? Brent, I think you need to add some RAM or something to this guy.
Wow, no kidding. And C-Bot, even if you were there, what the hell do you need all that for?
Never mind. I obviously missed the point of this episode. I'll just go put this stuff away.
Well, the good news is he isn't around to see our guest, or he might try to use some of that equipment.
Pecker.
Oh.
His name is Pecker.
Welcome back, Joseph!
Guys, it's great to be here. I've been listening to the show a long time, and frankly, I just was thrilled when you guys finally asked me to be part of it.
Why are you here?
We literally didn't even have you on the outline today.
Sometimes I just skulk around the studio.
And just show up. And how did you make it past C-Bot?
Well, that's easier than you would think.
It's a good point.
I'm like a Bigfoot.
He does a lot of tree knockings, and no one's ever actually seen him.
I'm like Bigfoot in a different way than Bobo is like Bigfoot.
Not to be confused with Bobo from Nothing But Trouble.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Diane. Can I have some cereal?
And what I mean is, I think that Bobo is vastly superior with intelligence and probably class.
Indeed. I'll tell you what is superior is that movie. Digital Underground, Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase,
John Candy,
Dan Aykroyd in Old Man Soup, tonguing
a knockwurst, yeah.
The Bone Stripper.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
It's fantastic.
Young Demi Moore. Mm-hmm. It is wonderful. But Joe, have you ever gone Bigfoot hunting?
I mean, rudimentary. Yes. I have not yet fulfilled my lifelong goal to go on an expedition up to Canada and truly do some.
One time he went to a local county fair and Bigfoot was there for Sunday.
Exactly.
Got you got a Polaroid taken with a guy in a suit.
Well, it was a truck in a suit.
It was a truck in a suit, yeah.
And son of Bigfoot.
Not to be confused with Gravedigger.
They're actually
and a two-story car-eating, fire-breathing robot.
Joe said he was pretty upset because they made him buy or purchase an entire seat. He only needed the edge.
Is Bigfoot even floating around anymore? All you ever hear about is Gravedigger now.
It's just not as popular. It's St. Louis, Missouri, your old stomping grounds. That's where it comes from.
There's a picture of me when I was a kid standing inside of the wheel well of Bigfoot. It was at my dad worked at a car dealership, and it was at the dealership on a, you know how they used to do the big Saturdays, come out for hot dogs and a balloon and Bigfoot. You can get pictures with Bigfoot. Fantastic. Yeah, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I got a picture with Bigfoot. Oh, but back then, you remember going to those things and it would be inside of some small convention center and they wouldn't open any kind of ventilation system.
Well, even at the Prairie Capital Convention Center in Springfield, which is a large convention center, you sit in there about an hour in, you got a headache, and you got to leave. Like, I don't think this is exactly. I don't remember how to play.
Hey, honey, I think it's time to go. The kids are asleep. It's really loud in here. I can't believe they're asleep. No, they're not asleep. They've passed out. Carbon monoxide poisoning is real, people.
What they do is everyone. It's bib night because everyone gets a bib to catch all the spittle that's dripping from their mouths.
Bib night. And for those of you who are interested, you can purchase your Hysteria 51 bib now.
Monster truck bib.
All right, you chodes, I'm back. How about less NPR car talk and we get on with it?
That's probably a good idea because Bigfoot's not going to find himself. You know what I mean? Maybe he will. I don't know.
We aren't going to spend the next hour and a half talking about monster trucks because that's what I researched.
That's what I'm here for.
Son of a bee.
Bigfoot finding himself. I would watch that. Like he sits there with a
he's in a hostel in Eastern Europe. He's hiking, backpacking around, finding himself.
He's in front of himself and looking at his reflection in like a lake. I good enough. I smart enough.
He also sort of sounds like Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's
the
monster?
Fact that this Bigfoot can speak. It speaks volumes for him.
It also speaks volumes for Brent that he's added another voice to his
repertoire.
Pantheon.
Frankenstein, Bigfoot, Bigfoot's monster. What do you call that? I don't know.
Frankenstein, Bigfoot. Let's go with that.
Frankenstein's Bigfoot.
Bob's right. What the hell's Big Feet? What the hell are we talking about? What's this? Big
is that the plural of Bigfoot for
no,
the record?
No,
it's a. It is a big. Feet-eye. Don't you just add an N to a lot of words? Or an I at the end?
Do you know your alphabet?
Big feet-eye?
No, the plural is big hand.
Big hand, I know you're the one.
That was nice that you gave him a laugh there. That was a good courtesy laugh.
He, unlike you, is often humorous to me.
I see what you did there. You reversed it on me.
Twirl around, flip it, and reverse it. I don't know what the next line is, but it sounds like, I think.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Combo breaker.
Like you said, John, this is the cryptid among cryptid, the name among names, Bigfoot. But that name actually goes by many names around the world.
Harry.
Yeah. Harry, yeah.
Harold to his mother.
Correct.
Sasquatch, or, you know, Squatch if you're in the know.
If you know what you're doing.
Skunk Ape, Yeti, Abominable Snowman, Wendigo, Ape Man, Grass Man, Wild Man. I mean, these are just to name a few. There are countless names out there, but we're focusing on Bigfoot, the North American version of said creature. And speaking about North America, I want to throw something out there. 2017, guess what state had the most sightings of Bigfoot?
I know.
What state is it, John?
Illinois!
Welcome.
Because we have the beautiful mountains of Illinois for him to hide in. Yeah.
Well, and we've got the bushes outside of the studio where I hide.
That's more lurking, like we've already established, I think.
I enjoy that. Just like stumbling out and saying, oh, what are you doing here, Brent and John?
I didn't know you guys were going to be here.
What a coinkydink.
I brought my headphones. So if this thing is real.
Would you like to ride the bone train?
If this thing is real, John, what the hell is it, this Bigfoot character?
Well, supposedly it's a simian-like creature that inhabits forests, especially those of the Pacific Northwest, which makes it especially curious that we talk about it so much here in Illinois.
Right.
Bigfoot is usually described as a large, hairy, bipedal humanoid.
Now, simian means monkey-like, correct?
It does. Thank you.
I just like saying monkey-like.
And simian. Individuals
pray for Mojo. That's all I can think of when I hear monkeys. That and Lancelot Link.
Individuals claim to have seen Bigfoot describe it as a large, hairy, muscular, like I said, bipedal ape creature, roughly 6 to 9 feet tall, generally covered in hair, black or brown, dark reddish. Sometimes descriptions include details such as large eyes, a pronounced brow ridge, so, you know, a big forehead, and a low-set forehead. The top of the head is generally described as rounded and crested, similar to that of a male gorilla.
Yeah, it's like the face is pushed forward and the back is like this big, like you said, like a crown crest in the back.
Star child-like.
Yeah, right? Yeah, these creatures have been reported to have...
Paul Stanley?
Strong, unpleasant odor also. That's why one of the things...
Well, some... The ones in the southeast of the U.S.
They call them skunky.
Yeah. It stinks down in the Everglades.
And we talked about these enormous footprints for which the creature
If you had hair all over your body and never wiped, it's going to stink.
Wet nap? I'm going to have to shave this out.
I know my dog never wipes. He doesn't smell like crap.
Yeah, but it's not like long.
Yeah, that's true. Some dogs are, and you're right. And you always hear about people like, I got to cut the poop out of my dog's hair.
I mean, you've heard the term dingleberry, right?
That's end of the line for pet ownership for me if I'm cutting poop out of here, unless it's a Sasquatch.
I would gladly do it. If you got to cut poop out of a dog for its entire life, it's still much cleaner than probably what John's had to dealt with his child.
With my child,
just
yes.
So far.
That's true. He's not lying.
That's not putting down his kid. That's all children. That's just a universal functionality.
Or what Lisa has to deal with Brent.
With Brent.
But
yeah.
We wrote that into our vows, so she's stuck. It's legally binding in the state of Illinois. I looked into it.
Most people say to have and to hold. They say to have and to cut poop out of.
To have and to clean up after.
She swears if she... Never mind.
You know it's going to be bad when he stops himself. Yeah.
Wait, we're going back to talking about monster trucks, right?
Yeah, right. So we're talking about the feet. Like you said, 24 inches long, 8 inches wide. And people claim that it's an omnivore, eats everything, and nocturnal. That's why, you know, we don't really see it. It's out at night, hiding during the daytime, sleeping during the daytime.
That claim is more along the lines of the reason that you can't find one.
All to the side, though, that is a hell of a lot of information for an animal that has never been proven to exist. But there are no shortage of stories or encounters. And there's even photographic evidence, not to mention the vast amounts of footprint casts that are just everywhere. And in fact, not unlike the famous Zapruder film for JFK, Back and to the Left.
Back and to the left.
Bigfoot has its own stupid famous video, the Patterson-Gimlin film. Now, I guarantee that even if you don't know anything about Bigfoot, you have seen this film. They use it in commercials, it's been in movies, everything. This footage, the Patterson-Gimlin film, was filmed alongside Bluff Creek, a tributary of the Klamath River, about 25 logging road miles north of Orleans, California, in Humboldt County.
Thank you for mentioning what county it's in, Brent.
That's very important because they are very proud that it happened in Humboldt County.
Consider yourself zing.
Zing of the day.
The film site is roughly 38 miles south of Oregon and 18 miles east of the Pacific Ocean. So we're talking about this because for decades, the exact location was lost because of regrowth of foliage and junk like that, but it was actually rediscovered in 2011. They know exactly where everything was filmed. So these guys, the filmmakers, were Roger Patterson. He was born in 33 and he died back in 72. And Robert Bob Gimlin, he was born in 1931. And Patterson died of cancer in 72 and maintained right to the end that the creature of the film was real. And his friend Gimlin has always denied being involved in any part of hoax whatsoever with Patterson. Like, it's real. We are not making this up. This is what it is. And talking about Gimlin, he mostly avoided public discussion. He didn't really talk about it up until about 2005 when he began giving interviews and appearing in Bigfoot conferences. Other than like one or two times before 2005, mum's the word. He just didn't talk about it.
Ran out of casino money.
Yeah, right?
Mm.
So what did they say happened, John? What happened in this video?
Well, as stories went, in the early afternoon of Friday, October 20th, Patterson and Gimlin were riding generally northeast or upstream on horseback along the east bank of the Bluff Creek. At some point between 1:15 and 1:40, they came to an overturned tree with a large root system at a turn in the creek, almost as high as a room. So it was a large overturned tree. Yeah. When they rounded it, there was a log jam left over from the flood of 64, and they spotted the figure behind it simultaneously. It was either crouching beside the creek to their left or standing there on the opposite bank. Gimlin later described himself as in a mild state of shock after first seeing the figure.
Which, I think if that's true, we'll give you that.
Was yeah,
standing
oh, yeah.
or crouching? I don't know. I just saw a 9-foot-tall beast man.
Yeah, it's fair.
Patterson initially estimated its height as at 6.5 to 7 feet. Later raised his estimate to about 7.5 feet. Some later analysts, anthropologist Grover Krantz among them, have suggested Patterson's later estimate was about 1 foot 2 tall. Either way, so somewhere between 6 and 7.5 feet.
Yeah.
The film shows what Patterson and Gimlin claim was a large ape-like figure that we just like we described before, either silvery brown or dark reddish brown, almost black, with hair covering all of its body and prominent breasts. The figure in Patterson in the Patterson Gimlin film generally matches the descriptions of Bigfoot offered by others who claim to have seen one.
And we're talking about the way it looked, and this is kind of a big thing because this video has been broken down frame by frame, and they're looking at it to see, you know, anthropologists and zoologists and cryptozoologists and all these people look at it. This is a long time ago. This is back in 67. This is a time when Planet of the Apes was about as high tech as
yeah, I mean, it won suits and it things. Won Oscars.
Yeah.
For
so we will say this. If this was a faked suit, it is fantastically done. Because mm-hmm. when they zoom in on it, and even at that time, you can see the striation and musculature of the arms. Yeah. You can see that she had breasts. And there's something on the back, and a lot of people have actually broken it down and think there actually might be a child or like a smaller like baby clinging to the back of this thing. It's fascinating that no matter what, whether this is real or fake, the details put into this suit are fantastic. And just the gait itself, they can look at that and they know exactly how tall this thing was within a few inch span. The gait is monstrous as far as like when she's turned and looking and is walking. Patty, the she is recalling, they've affectionately named her Patty. When she's walking, her gait is further than like what you would, I mean, it's like Shaquille O'Neal walking is what I'm saying. So if they had a man in a suit, they did it really well. And they also went on top of like, not only are we going to make it a man, we're going to have it a woman and have giant breasts and probably have a child on the back. Like, that's impressive no matter how you look at it.
It is fascinating, the mystery that surrounds it from that standpoint of you watch these documentaries that get made, you read these reports, and it's like there's not consensus among like anthropologists and biologists and all these different people. Like there isn't consensus when they break down this video, and they'll say, well, you know, one guy will say like, man, you know, that really does look like the way an ape would walk. And another says, I don't know. Like, I could see where it would be a person in a suit. Like, there's a lot of argument. Like, it's an amazing mystery, that whole ordeal.
That was the thing that always stood out to me about the video. The walk itself. Not the size of the walk or the gait like you were talking about, but the actual look of the walk. You don't see as many people talk about that. They talk about what you were talking about, the musculature and the detail of the suit. I'm not a scientist, and so I mean I could be completely off base, but it doesn't look to me the way an ape creature would walk. Like, looking at it, it looks like a man in a suit. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like if I put a suit on Joe and said, Joe, go over there and walk like you're a hulking beast. Like, that's like a person trying to imitate a hulking beast
would
walk. Well,
I'd just walk normal.
Because you are such a hulking beast.
One thing that I thought was cool about it is in one of the videos I was watching, they interviewed, like, I think it was Rick Baker, like a makeup effects guy and stuff like that. And he's like, wow, this is like fantastic. And he was looking at stuff and they were talking about, like, on the leg. And there's like this bulge on the leg where it would have, it looks like it has like a fissure, like, which is like this type of like leg issue that you can get. And it's funny because around the fur separated, like, and like they said, this could have been just nothing, but it looks like the type of thing where you're looking at a person and like, oh, that's a person suffering from this or that. So it's either a happy coincidence or, you know what I mean? Or a really well thought out.
Right.
Whatever.
And the point I was making about the gait, about the way that the creature walked, wasn't necessarily that it was a person in a suit.
Yeah.
But there are numerous, if Bigfoot exists, there are numerous things it could be. And we'll get into that later in the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just that walk could certainly point to one of, let's assume for a moment that no matter what, Bigfoot's real. We just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. That walk could certainly point to one of those being true versus the other.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, they were even talking to Patterson and Gimlin about it. And they're like, and they actually talked about the walk. And they're like, it looked like it was walking away annoyed. Like, it literally was like one of those things, because it turned and stared at them, you know?
It does. It turns and looks like a person turning and looking at somebody.
That got caught, and they're, like, trying to get away, and did, like, that backwards, like, F-U glance.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
And they're like, holy crap. And then it went, and this was all shot from, like, 20 feet away from the creature at the closest, and it walked away.
And the one thing we do have to keep in mind, we talk about the detail. That's all relative. This is still a camera from the mid-1960s.
Yeah, and it was shot in like 16 frames per second, and it's
25 feet away.
And it's only, the whole thing is like 50-some seconds. The first part is him getting off the horse, then like the horse is freaked out. Also, when they're filming it, the horse gets spooked. The horse starts rearing up and stuff during this thing. There's a lot of outside things happening while he's trying to do this. And they actually dismounted, got off, went after this thing. They had guns. They're like looking after it. And they lost it. You know, it went away. Walked away from him. And
or the scene ended. You know, one of the two.
Yeah.
And or it beamed up to its spaceship.
And also a possibility.
They'll break this down like frame by frame. So you look at, well, in frame 264, you see that Patty is glancing, and frame 263. Like, it's funny. Like, people have made their entire careers researching this film.
You mentioned the Zapruder film before, just like that.
It's the fact, you know, Patterson, he said it was the expression on the face as they were walking away was contempt and disgust. You know how it is when an umpire tells you one more word, you're out of the game? That's the way it felt. Like, she was telling him, like, oh, I'm pissed off at you. These guys, though, unfortunately, just like with everyone who, like, you know, like we said, like, just like the guy who got the Majestic 12 letters was someone who was a person researching it. Well, Patterson and Gimlin were wanting to film a Bigfoot. You know what I mean? So it
what
just
a
so
coincidence!
They filmed it. Now, you say, well, that's amazing that it happened. That still doesn't take away from the fact that if they did do it, it is a staggeringly amazing film, technology-wise.
I'm not that impressed.
No, that's true. There was no nudity, so he's out, you know? I don't know. Like, Joe, what do you think? Like, you've watched it, you've looked at it. Not talking about the whole legend of Bigfoot, just the Patterson-Gimlin film. Like, what's your thoughts on it?
I just love it from a standpoint of it never gets tiring to me. Every year when the newest, you know, crop of Bigfoot shows are guaranteed to pop up on all the different, you know,
and the odds and the teens channels. Have been great for that.
Yeah. And every year I watch them all. And it's the same stuff. And
this
it's
week
the same...
on Monster Quest, we traipse through. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the same grainy footage slowed down, and it's the same talk track of a different crew of scientists debating what they're seeing. And that's, I mean, I just can't get enough of it, of like, these guys cannot all agree. Like,
well,
this
do.
Is special effects. No, this no, is no, a costume. No. Like, there's always a few that are like, I don't know if I buy that it's a guy in a costume.
The thing
they
is
talk
they
about the
always
arm length
agree
and,
that when it comes down to it,
we ain't found shit.
Well, that's true.
You're right, the arm length, the stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always all of these pieces that come into it that it's like, I mean, it's the whole cryptozoological conundrum, right? Is like, it's there's no proof of their existence, but everything that tries to disprove this stuff, there's always holes in the
but
disproving.
Also with, and also within that world, the moment that there starts to be a consensus, the only money to be made is to be the contrarian. And,
yep.
Yeah.
So every exactly. few years, there's going to be the next thing.
Well, and then there's also these cryptozoology or these cryptids that people end up finding, like the Kraken. We found the giant squid recently. We found the coelacanth, the giant fish that was thought dead for decades. Hell, pandas until like the early 1900s were a mythological creature. These mm-hmm. things keep popping up.
And if we're not careful, we'll be again soon.
Yeah, no doubt, right? And the other thing, like what we're looking at now, the Tasmanian tiger.
Yeah.
You know, the...
Well, that wasn't mythological. That just was thought extinct.
Now, I think that go they kind of go hand in hand, though, with... things that are extinct, like if you walked outside, you found a dodo, you'd make the news. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah, but I think to John's point earlier,
they,
like
they
it
both
is
are the same thing where the government's saying they don't exist, they don't exist. People are saying like, oh no, I've seen it, and it,
right. But the difference is like different. there's bones and evidence and skeletons and stuff of the Tasmanian tiger or the dodo. Like it's 100% for sure
was,
these things
but
existed once.
Yes, but what I'm saying is they're also saying that it hasn't existed since 1936.
Right. Right.
So. If they are out there, where the hell are these bones? That
well, that's the thing. There's these people that clearly know the territory that are like, no, we're indigenous to this area. Trust us. We're seeing Tasmanian tigers.
Which
they're not
funny.
Extinct.
Then they go into these tribal regions. They find the people and they hold up a picture. They're like, yeah, Bigfoot, two mountains over. Don't go over there. Like, and it's nothing weird to them. Like, and that's more
well,
like
the Sherpas with
the Yeti.
Yeah. Like, they 100% believe that these things will attack you if you go to certain areas. A buddy of mine's going and climbing Everest in April this year. I've been sending him a lot of material to make sure he knows. Watch out for the Yeti.
But obviously, to Joe's point, the one big difference being there might be a video here. Yeah. There is talk of things and supposed evidence there. But for Bigfoot and other cryptids, there is no body.
Exactly.
Right. There's no proof that this thing has existed.
Yeah. People are seeing something. Like a lot of these people, they aren't dummies. Like these, you know, these Indian tribes that have lived in the forests of the Pacific Northwest for hundreds of years, like they know what animals are out there.
When Carol runs, you know, almost into something with her car and goes, I was Bigfoot. I tend to go, you know, whatever. Yeah. But when, you know, Forest Ranger Steve goes, oh my God, it came out of nowhere. And he's got to, you know, educated and stuff. I put a little bit more into stuff coming from people like that.
He literally survives life every day by knowing how to avoid black bears and like grizzlies and stuff. Like, I mean, I don't know what these things are they're seeing. It could be misidentification, but he's seeing something and he doesn't think it's a bear.
Yeah,
and he sees them all the time.
Right. I know Ranger Rick, for one, has to avoid those bears.
Oh, man.
I mean, they're always, always
trying to steal his picnic
baskets.
Trying to steal his picnic baskets. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, children.
Is it time to go?
Hey, Boo-Boo.
Hey, Bobo.
Why don't you stick your hand in this picnic basket? So we talked about the legend and the most famous sighting in this Patterson Gimlin film. When we come back, we're going to discuss how this could be a real creature, how it's kept hidden, if it is kept hidden, or if it is even a real creature, and more when we come back on Hysteria 51.
I, for one, think we should continue by hanging out with Nessie. No one's looking for big underwater in Loch Ness.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Has anyone ever told you you're very shalom?
No, but they've said I'm very pudding.
Oh, pudding. Aw. It's a Harley Quinn. That's what she calls Joker. Oh, pudding.
That's great.
That or you look like you eat a lot of pudding.
Welcome back, Nation. We are talking about Bigfoot today. And no, we don't mean the Pizza Hut pizza, although I would like some right now.
Maybe you're talking about Bigfoot. I'm talking about Squatch.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
You say Squatch? I'd like to talk about Squanch. Rick and Morty? That's exactly who we should be talking about. But for now, let's talk about Bigfoot.
If we must. I was getting kind of tired. I thought maybe we'd switch it up.
So if he exists, or she.
Patty.
What or who is he?
Yeah, what could it be? What is this thing? If there's anything we know existed that this could be, was there anything? Like Nessie, they think it could have been a surviving plesiosaur.
Right, something from the past that might still be alive.
Yeah. Well, it just so happens that there is something. And it's a mouthful. It's fun to say, kids. Gigantopithecus. Say it with me now.
Gigantopithecus.
Just rolls right off the tongue. It's an extinct genus of ape that existed from perhaps 9 million years to as recently as about 100,000 years ago.
Or right now.
or now, in what is now China, India, and Vietnam.
North America.
Placing Gigantopithecus
Illinois.
In the same time frame and geographical location as several Bigfoot hotspots. Now, like you said, we're talking about the Pacific Northwest and Illinois, so that's not exactly China, India, and Vietnam, but we'll get into that in a minute. The primate fossil record suggests that Gigantopithecus were the largest known primates ever lived, standing up to 9.8 feet and weighing on average 1,190 to 1,320 pounds. Big. You think of your normal silverbacks like 400 pounds.
You mean gigantic?
Yeah. So it's not just a clever name. Is what we're getting at
here.
Strange. And also some argue that it is more likely that they were much smaller, roughly 5.7 to 6.6 feet, and only weighing 400 to 660 pounds. Either way, this thing is very large.
So they were either the starting defensive line for Alabama or the starting defensive line for Central Florida. Either way, they're larger than the average bear.
They were in the game. Yeah.
Now, the one thing to say about Gigantopithecus is we don't know a ton about them. Forgetting the connection to Bigfoot, looking at Gigantopithecus, a lot of it is conjecture because we don't have huge leg bones belonging to Gigantopithecus. We have teeth. We have jaw bones.
And the thing is, we have a lot of parts of them, these jaw bones and stuff.
Right.
We don't have any full fossils or anything.
Which is why, you really can guess at size with a thing like a femur.
Now they can get pretty close with everything else because everything kind of has, if this was this size and this was this size, it kind of means that it would be. So they know that they're in the ballpark.
That's why we're saying it could be 400 pounds or 1300 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that makes it all the more impressive, right? That John, don't you have a Gigantopithecus coming in as a special guest today?
Yes. He'll be here in a few minutes.
We're installing a lift to get him up here.
We call him Jiggy.
I found him on Craigslist. He swears it's legit.
Yeah. He would send photos, but he said he didn't want to put his face in them. We said, just come on over. Whatever that means.
It sounds legit. We left the front door open.
I'm just enjoying watching you giggle.
That's so good.
A lot of Bigfoot people say, that's what. He's alive and well. Gigantopithecus is just Bigfoot. He's hiding out in the forests of the Pacific Northwest. And other Sasquatch enthusiasts, however, point out that this is unlikely, as Bigfoot is purported to be a swift, agile, upright walker, not a lumbering 1,200-pound quadruped, because they think that Gigantopithecus walked like a silverback.
Silverback walked
now,
like an Egyptian?
A silverback can walk upright. And you can see those silverbacks. Sometimes they walk like a normal person. But their preferred mode is quadruped, knuckle dragging.
And for those of you listening, not in the studio with us watching, Brent, as he said that, just did like some sort of makeshift like Gigantopithecus walk.
I call it the Bobo strut. The other thing that I kind of alluded to, the Gigantopithecus was not in the Pacific Northwest, or at least no fossils have been found yet there. But this is the other thing that people say. There was land bridges that form and leave over time, and many scientists think that it's possible that they could have been there. That is legitimate. We have a lot of animals that are like, how the hell did you get from here to there? And then they look and back over time, there was a land bridge, and they were connected for not very long, only say 10,000 years. That's a long time, but in the grand scheme of things, that's a blip.
The same way Sarah Palin used to visit Russia.
Exactly.
Thank you. So Gigantopithecus, essentially, the theory behind Gigantopithecus is basically the exact same thing as Nessie being the plesiosaur. If you believe that these, you take something from olden times, you say it never went extinct, and it just happens to have found this patch of land where no one notices for, say, 100,000 plus years.
Oh, wait, would 9 million years qualify as olden times? Because when I think olden times, I think of, knights with, shields riding horses. were plesiosaurs riding horses?
Well, I
jousting?
It's all relative.
Now, so have we ever seen a Gigantopithecus riding a plesiosaur? That, you'll get some money out of me.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
The thing is, and the other thing that people talk about, well, this is 100,000 years, and maybe they do walk up right now because evolution, and they've adapted, and they've gotten smaller as our atmosphere has changed, and there's less oxygen, and the temperature has gotten colder, and things like that. That's another thing that they thought, well, maybe the Gigantopithecus went away because it got too cold, and so they're gone. Well,
I mean,
and now we live in the age of the Slanket, so he doesn't have to be cold anymore. Like, what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
How else is a Gigantopithecus going to fit into a hybrid? I mean, you got to be on two legs. I'm just saying.
And have a sunroof, as we all learned from Harry and the Hendersons.
That's right.
It all comes back.
I mean, how fortunate, by the way, that their station wagon had a sunroof. Like,
no, remember
if it hadn't?
No,
like,
remember he pushed his head through and it just made the big old dent in the top of it?
No, didn't he put? No, he pushed his head through and made the dent in the floor at home.
The floor, yeah.
And the neighbor's over, and John Lithgow like actually goes up, and
yeah,
he's like,
he did that too, yeah.
Calisthenics.
And he also
acting.
He also puts his head out the window of the car. And everyone moves out of the way, and he does the siren.
The best is Harry laughing. Seabot, do we have any Harry from Harry and the Hendersons laughing? I'm not sure that was a...
You know what? We're just going to go with that.
Okay. All right. That was a Sasquatch. Gigantopithecus is one possibility of what Bigfoot could be. Another possibility is an older, weirder version of us.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the wild man. So let's talk about evolution. The old version of evolution that you know, when Darwin came up with the concept, is kind of like the t-shirt you used to see. You know, you've got the basic chimp going all the way to the knuckle dragging ape and to the upright human, right? It wasn't a straight line. It was there were all kinds of branches coming off, and so at the same time that we're running around, what we eventually turn into Homo sapiens, there's also Neanderthals running around, and there's also Denisovans. I think I'm saying that right, but anyway, there are three types of hominids running around, and they are all interbreeding with each other.
And they actually think that there was much more than that. They're not 100% sure. In fact, in the last year or so, they think they've found another. Exactly.
But that's what they have proof of. I mean, literally, you can have your DNA tested and be found to have Neanderthal in you. And everybody was interbreeding. So there is a thought that some of those earlier versions of hominids, one of them could be Bigfoot.
There's actually, if you've ever seen, there's not a ton of information about it because it was during the height of the USSR. So, you know, even to this day, it's not like we can just walk around hanging out with a bunch of people from the communist regime that'll tell you everything that's going on. But there are stories of a group from the USSR military within, like, deep in the middle of nowhere in Russia there were these reports from villagers and people of this family of wild people, they called them, whatever the Russian term for that would be. John, you speak Russian, right?
Yeah, fluently.
Okay. Fluently? Is that Russian for fluently?
Yes.
But this like battalion or whatever group from the military went to investigate this thing because these people were all like freaking out, and they shot and killed this group because they attacked them. But there is like some in the scientific community in Russia that believe that they were a group of like some sort of offshoot of Neanderthals that
were still around, still kicking. So the problem is, and the thing I think that like you're talking about, it's not that Neanderthals and humans just killed each other. We interbred, and we've become, a lot of us think we're this muddled mess. Like I did this 23andMe.
Some people think that Brent
is a Neanderthal.
That we actually did kill off the Neanderthals.
They do, but they know that we didn't just kill them off.
Yeah, we also
bred with them. Like like when you do 23andMe, you can find out if you have Neanderthal DNA and how much of percentage and stuff like that. And it's interesting. Yeah. So like, you're right. They warred within one another, but they also interbred in a lot of ways. So
wait, how many ways are there to breed?
I got a book that I can show you. It's interesting. Just make sure you don't skip a page or you're going to throw your back
getting
out.
Getting pregnant off the toilet seat? Is that one of them?
These things might have evolution and stuff like that. If this is real, if it is an evolved species that's, you know, these wild men from Russia or these things, how have we not found them? Surprisingly, in research, there are several scientists who study primates who at least keep a smidgen of hope that Sasquatch could at least be real. And it's always interesting when you see these shows, when they go to the people that actually track apes and primates, they go, they always talk about, like, I don't believe it, a lot of them say, but I wouldn't be surprised, because they are very territorial, that they keep to themselves. Not territorial, they're migratorial. Mm-hmm. They keep to themselves. And like I said, I don't mean Bobo and Matt Moneymaker, you know, going out and knocking on trees. Real scientists that, you know, Jane Goodall and their chimps and these things that,
sure,
that study these things.
Still
that,
a lot
that,
of mystery around that.
Exactly.
Stuff,
yeah. And if they say Bigfoot was real, it would be a nocturnal and migratory, like I said. It might have a longer digestive tract, allowing it to eat bark and foods that most animals can't eat, and it might avoid people like the plague, they say. These longer digestive tracts allow it to eat things that, like, most animals can't even digest.
I don't know. I knew a guy in college.
Which is the thing that they think that, like, Gigantopithecus probably had that too, and that's why he has these giant gnawing teeth, that it probably was the case. But if that is the case as far as why we're not seeing, because it's hard to find, where are the bodies? Where's right. the hair samples? Where's the, you know, the fecal matter, the scat being found? We're finding these footprints, and these footprints, a lot of them, our feet, we have an arch. A lot of primates have, like, it's almost like a bend, like, I don't know, like a hinge.
It's like a hinge.
Thank you.
In the middle, yeah.
And a lot of these Bigfoot footprints, they'll have that. And so it's very, very interesting to see this. And so we're fighting all this. What do you guys think? Like, why are they not? Let's pretend for a second that they are real. Why wouldn't we be finding these things?
Pretend.
They eat their dead.
John's been interbreeding with Bigfoots for a while.
John's 1/16th Bigfoot. Pretend. He went to college for free.
Protected status.
Yeah. Every year he gets a Bigfoot stipend from the state of Arkansas, and he's never even lived there. I don't even know what that means.
He does have a casino.
That's true.
For those of you who don't know. You know what? So here's, I think this is an interesting part of that. You know how, like, every few years in certain parts of Asia or in some of the jungles in, like, South America or Africa, they will discover a new tribe of people that have lived there, and they're never huge. Like, they're, you know, they aren't hundreds of thousands of people, but it's like, again, it's the kind of things where there's stories that these groups exist, and then all of a sudden somebody runs across them and they've never seen other humans yep. before. And it's like a whole thing. But, like, I mean, to me, it's always a little bit similar to that, is like, well, nobody's walking around saying, you know, down in was it one of the islands down near Australia, maybe it was Papua New Guinea, like, where there was the pygmy tribe of people that are, like, 3.5-4 feet tall,
yeah.
that, like, no one ever had found skeletons of them, but they had heard rumors that they existed. And then, like, 60 years ago, they found them. And, like, it was a real tribe of people that they took care of their
You're
dead.
Like, holy crap, we thought this was a joke. Or not a joke,
yeah,
but a legend.
But, yeah. like, a legend, yeah, they thought it was the same thing as this kind of stuff. Like, I think that stuff, like, does have, I'm not saying it's even, I wouldn't even go so far to say I would call it plausible, but it's feasible.
Well, and you're like, looking at it too, like, the way I look at it, if this is a great ape, a primate of some sort, and they've got to have some sort of intelligence. Now, I'm not saying they're like humans, but maybe they do get rid of their dead or something.
Well,
they're
excellent engineers, I think, is the sort of intelligence that
yeah,
they have.
Yeah.
They build amazing skyscrapers.
And, yes. And they're strong enough to fight the $6 million man. So, I mean, it's interesting.
The only way that it's plausible to me, assuming they're real, and that we have not found their remains, is if they are intelligent enough to dispose of their own remains.
Bury it, eat it, just burn it, not burn it, but yeah.
Something, you know, I mean, I think like caves make a lot of sense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Are they in like, is there, they're just huge piles of these bones in the cave somewhere.
Yeah. And right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so, I mean, it's the only way, right? It's the only way you can just, you can like rationalize it as possible.
And it's gotta be, it's gotta be such a small breeding population. Like they keep finding these animals. Like I was just reading like the Barbary lion. The Barbary lion, I'm gonna make up a date. Like 1922, the Barbary lion went extinct. They are 99.9%.
Is that the lion
sure
in the animal crackers?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We ate them all.
It's delicious.
Yes. So I know. They are 99.9% like sure kind. That they were alive through the 60s. They just never could actually find them, but there was evidence and stuff like that. But they knew, they figured that they're, now they are extinct now, but they thought that there was such a small breeding population that was out there. We just weren't finding it. And there's a lot of animals like that. They still find birds. They find, every year they find animals, especially like reptiles and spiders and snakes and stuff like that. They're like, oh, that is real. It's just such a small breeding population. It would have to be something like that for this to be real. Mm. But then you go into the whole thing. Well, if it is such a small breeding population, one sickness and you wipe out the entire thing, or God forbid we actually find them, and it's exploitation time.
Now, is it possible, Brent and John,
could it be
that
we're a History Channel show now?
Yes. Yes. All I'm thinking about is watching episodes of The Curse of Oak Island because it's the new season's been on recently.
Oh, yeah.
A Spanish coin buried 6 inches underground?
Could it be that?
But is it possible that
the
it is
end
like
of a spoon? You see that?
Yes.
You mean they ate back then? Yes, they ate
weird.
Back then.
A human bone? That's 200 years old? There were humans?
There were humans?
What?
The eight?
You're out of your mind. Is it possible that it's misidentification, the reason why, you know, these people who they know... So think about it like in North America. Like, there are people who have been living in, you know, these remote areas for hundreds of years. Like, they know a grizzly bear or a brown bear when they see one. Is it misidentification because there are these random occurrences of weird hybrids? Like, I mean, just recently, like several years ago now, but pretty recently, like they always thought it was pretty almost impossible, pretty unlikely. And they found out there are grizzly polar bear hybrids.
Guy shot
like,
one and he went up to it and goes, that doesn't look right.
Right. He and
they said it was such a small coincidence that they could ever
that they would ever cross paths,
and yet they do.
It did, yeah. I mean, is it or you look at like you know the stories of the Yeti in Nepal and in Central Asia, like you know they talk about there is a species of bear that's indigenous to the area, but they've never seen it up high enough to be what the Sherpas are saying is killing people. Well, something mauled somebody,
or they thought it was like living remnants of like the flat face bear.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That they think, yeah, like, is it possible that it's not even, there's a breeding population of this thing? Is it that it's almost like these random mutants that happen every now and then that,
yeah,
that's doing
right?
It? What are your guys' thoughts?
I mean, I really think like, for me, that's a lot more plausible to me that it's some, we find things like that in nature. And so just using, you know, scientific deduction, that would, to me, be more realistic, you know, but who knows?
Well, like when the walrus bred with the crow, like, you know, maybe it's that. And it's just kind of like swimming and flying around.
Yeah.
The coast.
I remember its first words were, kill me. I'm in constant pain. What am I, God?
Or when the walrus bred with, I don't know, somebody from the Dagobah system, and then Luke went and milked it.
That's something that happens from time to time.
Kids, you want to find yourself a Bigfoot. You want to go hunting. We're going to tell you how.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. First, you need to go at nighttime. They're nocturnal. The big thing that they do, they think, communication-wise, over long distances, tree knocks. Seabot hits with a clip. That's it. Knocking on trees. So get yourself a stick, knock on some trees, and no better than Bobo himself to teach you the proper Yeti
it's
yell.
True.
The proper squatchiest squatch belch yell, whatever you want to call it, you can do. See about hit us with one of those. Now, you got your knocks down. It's nighttime. You know how to yell. You only need one more thing to really draw in those Yeti, those Sasquatch, those whatever you want to call it. You just need a chick who's menstruating, because they say that they are drawn into menstruation blood. So if you don't have one, just, you know, get some used tampons and hang them around a tree and hang out there. And I'm sure nothing bad will happen. I mean, that's how I camp. I don't know about you guys.
I thought that was standard. Isn't that what the Boy Scouts teach you?
That is literally the things that they say. Menstruation, blood, tree knocks, yells. I mean, this is things that scientists have went out and said, well, it just makes sense to me, and I believe it. And go turn on, go watch your hunt, Finding Bigfoot, and they're out there
finding
doing it.
Bigfoot. They're doing it.
So like I said, if it's possible that this animal's out there, there have been scientific studies. The first scientific study of available evidence was conducted by John Napier and published in his book, Bigfoot, The Yeti and Sasquatch in Myth and Reality, back in 73. And he wrote that if a conclusion is to be reached based on scant hard evidence, science must declare Bigfoot does not exist. However, he found it difficult to entirely reject thousands of alleged tracks scattered over 125,000 miles, square miles, this is in the Pacific Northwest, or to dismiss all the many hundreds of eyewitness accounts. So he concluded, I am convinced a Sasquatch exists, but whether it is all it's cracked up to be is another matter altogether. There must be something in Northwest America that needs explaining, and that something leaves man-like footprints. So even though scientifically he couldn't prove it, he's like, I still think there's something out there.
Mm-hmm.
And another study published in the Journal of Biography in 2009 by J.D. Lozier et al. Used ecological niche modeling on reported sightings of Bigfoot using their locations to infer Bigfoot's preferred ecological parameters, meaning where the hell is this guy at based on reports? And this is funny. They found a very close match with the ecological parameters of the American black bear, who's known to walk on its hind legs commonly. Like, it does this all the time. They also note that the upright black bear looks like the Bigfoot in appearance and is considered highly improbable that two species should have very similar ecological preferences, concluding that Bigfoot sightings are likely sightings of black bears. Either that or they eat the same stuff. Come on, man. Think outside of the box.
Dude, we've already established the intelligence level of Sasquatch. Like, I throw that out the window.
Well,
sorry,
Lozier. Come on. Have you been to the circus?
Sorry, Lozier.
A black bear? Have you ever seen a black bear on a beach ball?
On a beach ball with a fez on? Yes.
Yes.
Or riding a unicycle. One of my favorite things the Russians have ever done. Thank you, USSR. Communism was good for something.
That and vodka.
This is actually really interesting, though. They really using science. They took in a genetic analysis of 30 hair samples that were suspected to be from Bigfoot, Yeti, Sasquatch, El Nasty, all anything you think of from around the world. Of all of them, only one was found to be primate in origin, was human. The others were, this was a joint study from the University of Oxford and Cantonal Museum of Zoology. And this was published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society. And long story short, they sequenced all these DNA fragments, blah, blah, blah. What'd they get back? It was all black and brown bear, accounted for almost all of it. Others included cow, horse, dog, wolf, and coyote, sheep, goat, raccoon, porcupine, bear, and tapir. And the other thing is there was two others of all the others that were actually thought extinct bear. So, like, yeah, like, they're like,
welcome back.
Yeah, like, yeah. So now they don't know how old this was, but they're like, wow, this is actually... They actually got somewhere with this. But
you know,
it wasn't
there's a,
finding a Bigfoot, it was finding a bear.
There's a family or even a community living on a mountain somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, like the Waltons, that are just kind of separated from the rest of the world. And they run around wearing like black bear clothing.
Amazing.
And their shoes are like just big feet like shaped like big feet. Mom, Pa, why do you think they keep taking casts of our footprints? I don't get it.
Hey, Ma, I found another footprint filled in with concrete again.
What keeps happening?
Daddy says I'm the best kisser. Yeah.
Somebody spilled their concrete in my footprint again.
It's like a much less scary version of The Village.
Yeah. It's time, John. Give me your definite position on this. Is Bigfoot out there? Is it not?
lay it on me.
You mean you want the facts? is what you're asking for?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Wow, dumb in stereo.
Death followed him wherever he went.
I've got the facts for you right here. All right, so I will start with anything as possible. It is, we've said it on the show before, it is small-minded to say that anything is 100% true and does not exist.
Don't let that stop you, John. Keep going.
But I do not believe there is an undiscovered bipedal creature roaming around the Pacific Northwest or anywhere else on this earth. Are there parts of this world that there could be apes that we have not identified that particular species? Yeah, sure. But I mean, they're going to be just little offshoots of what we already know about. They're not going to be a Bigfoot, right? A completely new genus. I don't believe that exists. I think that a vast majority of reports are hoaxes. I think that people love to play off of other people's love of the unknown and mystery, and frankly, there's money to be made in this kind of thing.
Like when they say, I've had this Bigfoot frozen for 30 years, and then they get a sample of it, and it's possum guts.
Right.
Which literally happened.
Or what about the one that they had, like, the frozen arm, and then it mysteriously disappeared in the mail when it was being sent to, I think it was being sent to the University of Illinois, actually, for testing.
That's actually just the government catching
obviously.
It and
the Men in Black.
Yes.
There's a new documentary on Netflix last month about Bigfoot.
Yep.
And it's, and you know, the main guy that narrates it and is behind it. I mean, I believes it. I don't think he's out for the money. But one of the things they spend 20 to 30 minutes on are what he believes is a trail where Bigfoot ran through because a tree or two are knocked down.
It's a just, tree?
It's
knocked over?
Down. And by the way, it's a dead, rotten tree.
A rotten tree?
I mean,
in America?
You can't make this stuff up. Like, there just isn't enough out there. I believe that if something like this existed, even if there were only 100 of them, that we would find a body at some point. We would find bones. We would find some sort of record, some sort of fossil record. And because we haven't, I don't believe in them. I think there have been other large primates in history. I don't think they're running around in the hills of Oregon today.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, if these are out there, it's much more likely that they're in Nepal or somewhere that there could find some sort of primate, much more than I think it's in Oregon and Washington state.
And somewhere. One more thing, is it even possible? Like, everyone keeps referencing, well, maybe it's just a breeding group of 100. Like, a lot of the believers say that. Could a breeding group of 100 even, is that even genetically viable to stay alive for a long period of time?
One of the things they talked about that, it's funny, one of the things that they talked about that was the Kodiak brown bear, which is like the largest grizzly, is the Kodiak. The Kodiak is only on Kodiak Island, but for whatever reason, they don't have genetic abnormalities, even though they inbreed a lot. Mm-hmm. So they use that as an example of it can happen.
Just not likely.
It's just not likely.
Yeah, it doesn't make it likely, but all this stuff is possible. I mean, there really are, though. Like, there's a lot of species of, especially apex predators that, like, I mean, remember, there's the famous story, like, I'm not going to get into every detail because, frankly, I'm not an expert on it, but there's the famous story of what happened with the timber wolves out in the western U.S. when, like, everyone was freaking out because they were documenting that there were only, like, 500 of them total, and so they started, like, breeding them and then release them, and it completely wreaked havoc because, lo and behold, there was only supposed to be like 500
of them.
They
have their own pecking order, and they like keep their own levels where they're supposed to be.
Right.
It's like when they just released the Timberwolves back into Yellowstone, and it completely overshaped the park in a good way, and you realize, oh, they were supposed to be here, and we just need to stop messing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Like, and there are, like, a lot of species that are really, really small populations.
When they let them into the NBA,
Dude, well, that was a nightmare until, thank God, they finally found
this towns guy to take care of it.
No, but so like I was saying, I find outside of America a lot more viable something like that. And I'm with you. Unfortunately, whenever you get into stuff like this, you have hoaxers that are going to do it. The other vast majority is misidentification. You can see things almost like the remote viewing. You know, your mind starts talking about in your it starts taking over. And you ever think you see something and then you look at, oh, that's my cat, but I saw a person. Well, you thought you saw a Bigfoot and you saw a 6 or 7 foot tall bear. Hell yeah. And it's walking across the street and it's kind of dark at night. That's a scary
again
threat.
For those listening and not in the studio, Brent again did an amazing walk.
It should have been a dope de dee dee dope.
Hey boo boo.
So I'm with you. I will not say no because this is a definite possibility. You could, even in the Pacific Northwest, they could find something like this. It's much more realistic to me outside of here and other parts of the world, but we're not talking about those. We're talking about Bigfoot. Never say never, but I'm not on the bandwagon.
I'm a scientist. I don't believe in anything.
Joe?
I mean, I have a slightly different opinion from you guys. Like I tend to think that there are a lot of variations on this whole thing, that there's not some overarching global entity or animal or whatever, or, you know, variation of humans that just hasn't been discovered. Like, you know, you look at, you research and do things around the skunk ape, for example. Well, there's no bears in the Everglades.
Yeah.
So what the heck's being misidentified? Well, you come to find out. I mean, there is a rampant in Florida amount of illegally imported exotic animals
of illegally imported everything
that are like undocumented, like, and it's like, you know, you read about this stuff and these scientists will say like, oh, it's 100% possible that there's like a couple gorillas that some yahoo brought into the country that now they're just out and about out there and they're being misidentified. I mean, look at in Ohio, in central Ohio, what was that, like 5 years ago? The guy, no one knew he had like 12 tigers and 7 lions and he let them all loose.
Yeah. And it's like, and what? And then they all got to be slaughtered because, right. Well, shoot.
But I think, you know, there's
down these... Down in Florida, that's actually just the cast of Duck Dynasty.
Right. I saw him, Paul. He was driving a Ford.
That's how you know it's a Sasquatch. No self-respecting Floridian would drive a Ford. I don't know.
The reason that we have never have any proof of these actually being in Florida is every time they trap one, they eat it. Like, well, that's also, they're all hopped up on bath salts.
Tastes like possum.
They're all hopped up on bath salts.
The best proof of Sasquatch might be Florida. You know, the Florida man. all the different stories you read about Florida man doing this and Florida man doing that. Half of those could be Sasquatch.
What'd he look like? He's about 8 foot 4 inches tall, 1,600 pounds, covered in hair. Yeah, that
Florida man.
Passes my smell test.
Absolutely. But aside from that, aside from truly thinking that like there's a multitude of different ways that this whole lore comes to be, and it probably is different a lot of times. I don't know. Like I have a hard time not believing. And I think it's because like, I just have a problem with the arrogance of like us as humans. Yeah. That it's like that we think we've discovered everything and that there can't be places and things that we haven't figured out yet.
Life will find a way.
Kind of. And with that, and like, I look at, you know, especially for me, I always come back around to the whole Yeti concept. And it's like, I mean, just think for a minute about the Sherpas.
They're like, overpriced.
Like these are dudes who they ask way too much for sure. Like, especially with the exchange rate as it is today. but you know, these are people that we literally, like, the world, all these idiots who want to climb Mount Everest are like, well, these guys can do it in their sleep. Bring them along. Yeah. And it's like, they like full blown dwell in this whole area. They know everything and they 100% believe some kind of entity that they call the Yeti, like, it was Edmund Hillary that came up with the whole abominable snowman idea, but the Yeti is their thing. It's this mysterious being that it mauls people. It kills people. And there's these areas they don't want to go to. Like, something's going on there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's an undiscovered species, but I tend to think maybe it is, because
I think
tons
that's why
of scientists are like, there's no bears up this high. It's too high. Like, there's no way.
I think that's why we both said, like, that's, you know, to us too, you know, that's much more believable of something out there than it is. And
right.
like I said, in Washington.
But that's where I think it's not misidentification. I really do tend to lean towards there's some species out there that we haven't found yet.
So that's our thoughts, Hysteria Nation. What say you? Let us know. Hop on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. That's how you can let us know. Lots of discussions on there. We're always posting on there. You can also hop on Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's where you're going to find this episode, all our other episodes. When you're hopping on things, don't forget Twitter at Hysteria51Pod. Now, John, we got some good news this week.
You're pregnant.
Well, no, I'm not. It's still the rabbit survived, but
congratulations. He's going to be a soccer player.
We have a new Patreon member, Ray Walden.
What was his name? Ray Walden?
Yeah, thank you, Ray. And not to be outdone by Ray Walden, John Yellen, our previous Patreon person we've talked about, sent us our first Christmas card we've ever gotten, John. We got a Christmas card.
Well, no, John's received Christmas cards before, no, Brett. You're the one who no one wishes good cheer
to. Hysteria 51, my friend, has not. And I received that one at my domicile.
Although Conspiracy Bot received 17 Krampus cards, which I found odd.
I collect them, douche pickle. Mind your business.
Also, don't forget, you guys can leave us a voicemail if you want to hear your voice on the show. 773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277.
Or not. Preferably not.
What if they forget this stuff, John?
They just need to go to our new and improved website. Not so new anymore, but it's certainly improved. Hysteria51.com.
It's all shiny and pretty.
All that info is right there. You can see a picture of Brent. You can see a picture of me. You can gaze at a picture of Joe.
That's a guarantee. Don't go if you don't have an hour.
You can even lose yourself in
a
wheel of conspiracies and find your new conspiracy to talk about around the water cooler at the Legion of Doom, if that's what you're into.
We also have a favor to ask. Next time you're in Apple Podcasts, go ahead and go give us a 5-star rating and write a review. Tell us what you think of the show and give us a 5-star rating. It really does help, guys. It helps the show grow. It helps other people discover the show. We pop up in the iTunes rankings and other people find us, click on us, listen to us, and Hysteria Nation grows.
Well, and frankly, they really need it to counteract the 1-star reviews I keep giving.
That's true.
How many email accounts are you going to create just to keep doing that?
I had to build my own conspiracy bot too, 2.0, just to keep doing it. It's an automated email.
We've actually got
machine.
A clip from his conspiracy bot.
Kill me, please God, kill me.
And Joe, I was just curious how you actually got a prodigy.net email address anymore.
It took some time.
I mean, that was impressive.
It was difficult.
He took his Christmas money and bought the company.
I had to use my MySpace email, my AOL email, and my Roadrunner.net email in conjunction to triangulate it.
Pimp.
Well, all done. Right. So, kids, that's been our theories on the wild man, the skunk ape, the Sasquatch.
I'm David Pumpkins!
The Bigfoot. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible! It was just terrible! I'll never get over it as long as I live!
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.